good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Your face is always so contorted. Do you have that Jerry Lewis disease in your face?
I guess so, yes.
I think, well, let me get your mic on before, well, let me get it there. I got to move a little fast here.
People can't hear me if you're
on
the mic.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a long day, folks. Wednesday, August the 3rd. Hey, they named this day after you.
What's that?
Hump Day. Wednesday, August the 3rd, 2016, 12:16 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears, your host. And at 12:30 today, we're going to be joined by Beth Mathias, who was, she's our Marion's own, Beth Mathias. She was at the Democratic National Convention last week, gave a speech on Thursday night, and we're going to get all the ins and outs of what went on the day Hillary spoke with Beth Mathias. Right here from Marion. She was also met with Hillary, how that all happened. She'll tell us more about this, I'm sure. But she met with Hillary when Hillary was here in March up at the Harding Hotel. Then at 1:45 today, possibly, we might have Cheryl Lankford, who is an Iraqi war widow via telephone, and she went to Trump University. Now, what do you think she's going to say about that?
So she probably got ripped off.
Well, why? He's your guy. He's your man. He's your dude.
Oh, no.
Okay. 740-383-9944. If you, well, we're already getting a phone call right off the bat here. You got to love that. Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
Excuse me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I speak to Chris Spear?
Speak to who?
Is it Chris Spear?
Chris Spear?
Yeah, Mr. Spear.
No, it's Scott Spears. You're on the
Scott
radio.
Spears. Scott Spears. I'm sorry. I got the name wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, who is this?
My name is Christopher Henderson.
Christopher who?
Henderson. H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N.
Oh, okay. Chris, how can I help you?
I was just calling to have some words about the Marion Midget Football League.
Oh, actually, well, I tell you what. We are actually on the air right now. If you can give me a call after 2 o'clock, we can do that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll take that call later on. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you'd like to weigh in on anything. Now, I'll also remember John Anderson tomorrow, U.S. Representative from 1961 to 81, independent candidate for president in 1980, debated against Ronald Reagan. So, that'll be tomorrow, maybe among other things. But we must check our Donald Trump watch today because he went crazy again yesterday.
Yeah, he said he's mental.
Well, there's something going on with him, yeah. And I don't even want to make fun of it anymore because I'm not sure what it is, because he's starting to lose it a little bit. This is what he did yesterday. First, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, who's, you know, the head of the Republicans in Washington, he said yesterday he's not ready to endorse Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan's in a race. He said, no, I'm not ready to do that yet. And then John McCain, war veteran, who's also Republican, he went out and said, I am not going to endorse John McCain. And as a matter of fact, John McCain, who is a veteran, was a prisoner of war, he said he hasn't done enough for veterans, and that's why I'm not going to endorse him. So he's not going to endorse two members of his own party. Then there was a crying baby at one of his rallies. First he said he liked the baby, then he had the baby thrown out of his rally, wherever he was. Then gentleman came up, a war veteran came up and gave him his Purple Heart. And this is what Donald Trump said. You know, something very nice happened to me. A man came up to me and handed me his Purple Heart. Now I said to him, is this the real one or is this a copy? Okay. And he said, that's my real Purple Heart. I have such confidence in you. And I said, man, that's like big stuff. That's how presidents talk. Man, that's like big stuff. Okay? And then he said, I've always wanted to have a Purple Heart. This was much easier. But I tell you, it was such an honor. Maybe I can bring him up on stage. So you get a Purple Heart for saving somebody in the war. This man gave Donald Trump his Purple Heart, and Donald Trump's response was, I've always wanted a Purple Heart. This was much easier. A man who's never served a day in the military.
Yeah.
Very nice. Then he went on to stick by his comment. He defended it that Hillary Clinton is the devil. And he said that's perfectly okay to call her the devil. And she is the devil. So that was carryover. And then when President Obama said that he's not fit to be president, of course, he had something to say about President Obama. President Obama will go down perhaps as the worst president in the history of the United States. Nobody will be worse.
Really?
He did all that in a day.
Jeez. And that's something.
So how do you think this man's going? And now he's down 9 points in national polls against Hillary Clinton. He's starting to lose track in swing states. His own campaign manager is said to have said that they don't know what to do. They're thinking of resigning because they can't control him.
You know, it's just... I can't follow him anymore. He's all over the map.
Was it still funny?
Oh, no, it's not funny. I mean... You know, I don't know. I don't even know why that guy gave his Purple Heart up. I guess that's what I'm confused
about. I mean, he's a Donald Trump supporter, and I guess it was in reaction to the whole military scuffle that he got into. But, I mean, I guess if you want to give it to him, that's fine. But why in the world would you kind of make a little bit of a joke out of it?
Yeah. I mean, what's Donald going to do for it? Do with it? I guess Donald should have said, no, this is yours. You need to keep it, you know.
A normal person would say that, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Not him. I've always wanted one of these. This is much easier to get it.
Wow. I don't know. I think he's losing his mind. I think he needs to go see a therapist.
He did that. He called Hillary. Whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, he called her the devil and stood by it. She's the devil. And President Obama is the worst president in the history of the United States. Now, of course, he doesn't say that until President Obama attacks him, but he said it.
Well, I mean, I hate to see underneath Obama's watch, Saddam Hussein killed.
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden, yeah. Osama bin Laden. What was the other guy? The other. Dude.
Well, he's had several leaders in the terrorist world killed. But here's what I want to know.
Who was the guy in Iraq? What was his name?
The leader in Iraq?
Yeah.
That was Saddam Hussein, but that happened during Bush's term.
Well, you're right, yeah.
But anyway, my point is, okay, now we've talked about this over and over and over. Now, is anybody turned off who was on Donald Trump now? Is there any supporters of Donald Trump now who clearly think that possibly... he's not on his rocker, and maybe it would not be a good idea to vote for him? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring, and we can talk about that. Because it's starting to get strange. It's starting to get more strange than maybe it has ever been. And I don't know. Hillary Clinton's just sitting back and letting it happen. Letting him go off the deep end.
You know, I have not followed this... What is this foundation of the Clintons foundation stuff about? They're stealing money and taking people's money and...
Well, there's many stories about that they are taking money and then not using it all for the charity. But as anybody should know, look at a church. A church is considered to be a charity, okay? But a church pays the pastor out of the money they raise. A church sometimes pays the secretary out of the money they raise. A church sometimes donates money to the community to help with community repairs. So do they take all the money that they keep and not have a staff?
You wouldn't. No. I mean, bingo halls are the same way, right? I mean, they got to have employees to...
Well, Baseball for Youth ran for years here in Marion, and people were paid to be head of that organization. So I don't know, and I'm not really sure what the whole insides of the Clinton Foundation are, so if somebody knows, they can call and enlighten us, 740-383-9944, but I do know they are promoting this movie now, Clinton Cash, which I'm not sure... See, here's the problem with saying something about a movie like that. I'm not sure it's factual. And if it's not factual, then we probably shouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. I didn't know if it was like a Michael Moore thing.
Well, I don't know if it's it's not Michael Moore, but...
No, I know it's not Michael Moore, but is it almost like what Michael Moore is...
Right, but do you consider Michael Moore to be a liar?
I don't think he's a liar, but I don't think everything's true.
I don't know. I've never fact-checked a Michael Moore movie.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't either, but this is my opinion.
Well, I don't know. I think it's all very interesting, and I think, see, we're getting into a problem now, because, again, if you don't like Hillary Clinton, fine. Don't vote for her. But are you still willing to cast your ballot for Donald Trump? Because he's starting to be kind of erratic He's starting to, Donald, get help. Do something. Listen to somebody. You know, stop this.
He's running his own campaign. He's, you know, I don't think he's listening to anybody on his.
I don't think he ever did. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Hey, I'm starting to think I was right in the first place. He's nothing but a Trojan horse. If anyone is trying to throw it, they couldn't do a better job.
Well, now here's the thing, though. Somebody said something this morning, and I found this rather interesting. I don't think that Donald Trump. Oh, my God, it's Hump Day. I called you a hump, and now it's all
Donald
over.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. But I don't think he's trying to throw it, because Donald Trump's whole brand is winning. And even if he wanted Hillary Clinton to be president, he can downgrade himself all the way, which is the stuff he's doing now. If he loses in November, that's the first time he doesn't win. And that's going to be hard for his whole brand to suffer, that Donald Trump did not win in the big game, in the Super Bowl. And also, the things he's saying about her, I mean, he's calling her the devil. If you were really supporting her, I think you'd maybe just be a poor person in how you conduct yourself. I mean, he's calling her Crooked Hillary. He's saying lock her up. He's calling her the devil. I think unintentionally he's making her president, but I don't think he's intentionally doing it.
Yeah, but he's so ridiculous, all this nonsense.
But
like on the Purple Heart. The Purple Heart goes to someone who's been wounded in action.
That's right.
And, God, then he talks about his sacrifices.
He's built buildings.
He has never sacrificed a thing.
You know, maybe this is a conversation to have. How do you compare that to Hillary Clinton? Because like it or not, these are the two candidates.
Still there?
Yeah, yeah. How do you compare that? How do you compare Donald Trump's actions in life to Hillary Clinton's? Are they on the same level of wrongness?
Oh, no. Trump's a myth. There's nothing that's not a throw phony about the guy. Hillary's better than he is, but I still can't do Hillary.
Now, here's the thing.
I can't let my conscience vote for someone who will even lie about minutia. You know, that's senseless. What I hope doesn't happen, I hope if Trump even bothers to go to the debates, he may not. It would be in his best interest to go, because if he can get her to come out looking like a harpy, that could hurt her.
Yeah, but see, I see it from a different point of view. I think if he starts calling her Crooked Hillary on the stage, I don't think that's going to work.
But if he responds in a fit of anger and shows deep anger and stuff, her best bet is to be just sort of laugh every time he says something like that. And I hope she will take that track, because the other way, she's going to play into his hands. She's going to come out looking like a totally irrational person when they get hurt a little bit.
Well, if anybody's a good debater, I'm going to have to say it's Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders, and she took both of them on pretty well.
Yeah, but again, she's not putting up with somebody that's coming up with the personal nonsense that this jerk is.
Right. Well, that's to say, I don't think she'll even address it. I mean,
don't think she'll what?
I don't think she'll even address it. I think if he says something so off the wall like that, Crooked Hillary or anything that is just absolutely malarkey, I think that she won't even address it.
She would just laugh when he does that.
Yeah, she'll probably just say, Donald's going to be Donald.
That would ruin him down to nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think she's going to get in there and slug it out with him. I think she's going to try to make him look as stupid as she can by quoting foreign policy and showing that he doesn't. Does it bother anybody this morning that Joe Scarborough, who's a Republican, former Republican politician, said that top aides have told him that Donald Trump has been asking them why we can't use nuclear weapons?
Oh, he'd mentioned it a couple of times. He said, yeah, I'll use weapons, and this is on one of the commercials against him.
Yeah, but weapons are okay. I mean, we have fought wars
and
with weapons.
But he said including nuclear weapons.
Well, people better pay attention to that
one. Keep the trigger out of his hands.
Yeah, it was sort of scary today that North Korea put a weapon, came pretty close to Japan.
Well, we keep talking about North Korea, but nobody seems to believe
they have one pointed at California,
that
right?
That they're dangerous.
Don't they have one pointed at California?
Well, like I said yesterday, I thought this was, I don't know if you heard this yesterday, but I thought this was a pretty good analogy because I am tired of hearing about this. We're going to pick the lesser of two evils. I don't believe that's what it is. And for people who didn't hear, I'll try to condense it today. What I believe it is that I believe, okay, like if we go back to 2012, because we covered that election. Now, the people who loved Barack Obama loved him. And that if you said, would you vote for Mitt Romney? They would say, heck no. And the people who loved Mitt Romney loved him. And they said, would you vote for Barack Obama? They would say, heck no. I think what changed here is the people who will vote for Hillary will still vote for Hillary. She's polling, as of this morning, 50% of the country. That's about right for a Democrat. So the people who love Hillary are still loving Hillary and saying, I'll vote for her. I'm not going to vote for Trump. The problem is that the Republican Party is so tortured by Donald Trump, they can't come out and say we love Donald Trump because of the stuff that he says, but they also can't say we love Hillary because they don't want her to get in power. So they're saying, well, we got to choose the lesser of two evils. But that really does diminish her in a way because she is nowhere near the level of Donald Trump's just, I don't even know what you call it, erratic behavior.
Yeah, doesn't make her a Virgin Mary, though.
Well, no, but I don't think Nixon was exactly a virgin either going in there.
No.
I don't think Kennedy was a virgin either. How many dead people voted in Illinois in that election?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Papa Joe bought that one for him.
Right. But why do we look at Hillary in a different way?
I don't think it... Now, if you're implying it has something to do with her being a woman, I don't think it's irrelevant.
No, I don't think it's a woman at all. What I think it is it's a Clinton.
Yeah.
They were after Bill Clinton. If for people who lived during that time, when he beat Papa Bush and ended 12 years of Republican rule, the Reagan years in this country, they hated him. From the moment he got in there, there was federal investigations. There were criminal investigations. Mm-hmm. They looked into everything.
Yeah, this all most of that traced back to Arkansas. What went on there?
Right, but I would
and most of the issues back there involved.
Well, yeah,
but the stuff that Bill did was sort of irrelevant compared to the Whitewater and the cows.
Right, but I think Sean, do you think Hillary is the less of two evils? Do you think she's an evil?
No, not at all. I don't think she's evil at all. She's smart. She has brains. I mean, crying out loud, she was attorney. You don't become attorney for being stupid.
Well, why do you
think... I think the initial problem goes back with the Democrats had too few candidates and the Republicans had way too many. If they had settled on somebody earlier and said, okay, you other guys, will you please step aside so we can get a real person in here, I think they'd have been in much better shape.
But who could have defeated her, really? I mean, people are forgetting that 8 years ago, she ran against President Obama, who won two landslide national elections, and mm-hmm. she was not far behind in the primary at all. So, Hillary. In the presidential primary of 2008, where she was against Barack Obama, she was not far behind.
Mm-hmm.
So what made anybody think that anybody else coming into, if the Democratic primary would have had 16 people, that she could have been defeated?
I think if Biden had run, he possibly could have beat her. And all that would sort of be a sympathy vote, because he had a lot of bad things happen, personal things happen. In the last few years, I say Biden. A lot of people wanted to see Biden. He probably has fewer awards than Hillary does.
But you know, Biden ran in that primary 8 years ago with Obama and Hillary, and he was knocked out of the box early on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if he would have made it. I don't know. There,
he would be. He'd be a lot more viable candidate than old drunken Uncle Joe. Or Bernie.
Bernie. Well, he might have given her a run for her money, but I really do think there is a support of Hillary in this country. I mean, when you look at she's polling 50%. The convention's been over a week now. Mm-hmm. And she had this horrible interview with Fox on Sunday where she got four Pinocchios in the Washington Post the next day, and it didn't hurt her at all.
Yeah, that was on which one?
She was on Fox News last Sunday with Chris Wallace.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah. Well, they gave her four Pinocchios because he was hitting her, of course, about
the... Steve Cannon's station.
Yeah, Steve Cannon loves Fox News, but they were talking about her... role in Benghazi and her role in the email thing mainly.
Oh.
And again, she was saying she did not believe anything was classified, and the Post gave her four Pinocchios for that. But again, you know, there's that idea of the media doing something different. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that lots of people, millions of people, are still going to vote for Trump. And that's so depressing, I tell you.
Well, they are, that's for sure.
I did mention probably that I understand that Canada's starting to build the barriers. You know, they're going to put a wall up so that we'll quit migrating after Trump's elected.
Right. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in as always.
Sure.
Thank you.
Bye.
And again, the phone lines will be open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'll be on here for about another 24 minutes. But this is going to be a lot of fun for the next 24 minutes because we are joined by a lady who last week went to the Democratic National Convention, spoke last Thursday night. She is from Marion, Beth Mathias. Beth, how are you? Back from the Democratic National Convention.
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Well, how was it?
It was very exciting. There was a lot of different people that we got to meet. It was very busy the entire time we were there.
Now, for people who don't know, how did it come about that you were chosen to do this?
In March, the Hillary Clinton campaign had come to Marion, and they had called around to different social service agencies seeking someone that had a story to tell. It somehow got led to where I work, and my boss recommended me. I got to meet Hillary Clinton that day in March, and I told her a little bit about myself. After I talked to her a few months later, I got a call from the campaign asking if I'd like to share my story on a national scale.
Now, what do you think the social service group found interesting about your story enough to pass it along to Hillary Clinton?
Well, a lot of about me is I started out pretty low. 10 years ago, I was homeless. I have built myself back up with the help of my husband and with some of the social service agencies supporting me. We now own our own home, and right now I am working two different jobs. I work full-time for a nonprofit agency and then part-time for a second nonprofit agency. My husband works third shift in a factory. We work around the clock, but we still struggle. I have several debts from student loans and past medical bills, taxes. We have a ton of debts, and we are struggling, even though we work three jobs.
How did you end up homeless?
I guess a lot of things came into play. I was a high school dropout. I didn't have an education. I was having a hard time finding work. When I did find work, the company I worked for closed, and 2 weeks later, my husband was laid off from his job as well. So we didn't have the money to pay our rent, and we just kind of fell through the cracks a little bit, didn't have anywhere to go for a little while. Yeah.
Now, there is this talk all the time, and we have it on this station, where why don't people just go get a job at McDonald's or Walmart or somewhere, you know, because we hear a lot of times, if I had no money, this is what I would do. If somebody who's been in that situation, what actually happens?
It's not like we didn't try. We did try. We had several applications, and my husband and myself both had applications in everywhere. It's hard to get a call back sometimes when, in my situation, I didn't have an education, so I didn't have a resume. I didn't even know how to go about making one. I heard you're overqualified or you're underqualified quite a bit when I did apply. It was just very difficult just getting a foot in anywhere to get the job in the first place.
How long before, because it was all a surprise visit to most people when mm-hmm. she came in March, how long before Secretary Clinton came did you know she was coming?
I found out 2 days before.
2 days, so it was quick.
It was very quick.
Now, when you found out that you were going to meet former First Lady, Secretary of State, person running for president, what was your feeling that morning?
When I found out, I was beside myself. It was a huge surprise. I had no clue that anyone really wanted to hear my story, let alone someone of such stature. It was very exciting to be able to share a little bit of not only me, but what several people like me go through.
It happened in that donut shop on that Sunday morning when Secretary Clinton came in. Tell me, because most people were not there, mm-hmm. What happened that day?
Well, there was a lot of security, which everyone that drove by seen. It was kind of casual. We expected a lot more hoopla about it, but because it was a surprise visit, it was kind of low-key. There was security that we had to go through, of course. But once she walked in, it was really like sitting down with a friend.
Now, why is that? Because all we hear is that she is evil. There's a book written about her, Secret Service. She threw the Bible at somebody. She's got a horrible mouth on her. But you're saying within moments, this woman who's larger than life, mm-hmm. you felt like a friend.
Yeah, I felt completely at ease. She just has this presence about her that makes you comfortable. You want to open up to her. It feels like she cares when she's talking to you. She has an incredible memory. We were there for quite some time, and at the end of it, she went to each of us that spoke to her individually and reiterated what we had told her and how she felt about that and what she hopes to do if she were to be so lucky to be elected president, to help put in some policies that could help some of us in our situations.
Now, as this is going on, because obviously this is not a speech. She's not there giving a speech.
Right.
What is, like, the tenor in the room? Did she come over to people? Did she break in when somebody, was it a conversation, or how did it take place?
When she first came in, she walked around the room and she introduced herself and had us all introduce ourselves to her. Not only the three of us that were sitting at the table, or the four of us at the table with her, but most people that were in the room, she introduced herself and it was a conversation. She asked us, you know, tell me your story, tell me about your life. And each one of us that were fortunate enough to sit with her told her about ourselves. And she went on to address each one of us individually as a group and then on a personal level at the end. So it was all kind of, we led the discussion, more or less.
Now, when you were telling her your problems, which you just told us, mm-hmm. what was her solution?
The biggest one for me was my student loans is my biggest downfall at the moment. She told us a little bit about how she's trying to allow us to be able to refinance our loans and how in the future they're hoping to push for some kind of debt-free education for our future generations. We also discussed medical. I have a pretty rare disease called pseudotumor cerebri, which has led me with some pretty hefty medical bills as well as really expensive medication. So she has proposed hopefully lowering some of those medical costs to help us as well.
Now, when this is going on, does she seem genuinely interested?
Absolutely. She makes great eye contact. She took notes as we were talking to her so that she could follow with what we were saying. I felt like I was talking to a friend. Very easy to open up to her.
How did the room change from the time she entered to the time she left?
When she first entered, of course, there was a lot of excitement, whether positive or negative. There was just a lot of excitement in the air. By the time she left, everyone was more at ease and kind of in awe over the whole situation of how it all just came about.
Did people want to get pictures with her? Were there things like that going on?
There weren't a lot of picture taking. We weren't allowed to have any electronics out other than the media that were actually there. They did take a group photo at the ends of all of us that were fortunate enough to talk to her.
Very nice. Yeah. Where do you keep that photo at?
I actually haven't received it yet.
Oh, hasn't come yet?
No. The media team from Ohio has promised to send it to us, but we haven't received it just yet.
Very nice. So this passes by, and then when does that happen in March? Mm-hmm. When does the call come?
Well, I had actually been receiving calls for the last 2 weeks of June that I had been ignoring. I had gotten voicemails, and I work 2 jobs, so it's hard sometimes to be able to answer my cell phone or to respond to messages. But for 2 weeks, the voicemails were kind of vague, that they had an opportunity for me to be able to help with the campaign. And every time my thought was, I don't have time for my kids, how do I have time to help with the campaign? So I had ignored the calls for 2 weeks in the last 2 weeks of June. And the only reason I actually answered the call was because they called me after 10 o'clock at night one night. And I was a little upset that they were calling me so late. But I had answered the call, and the gentleman led off with, we would like to invite you to speak at the Democratic National Convention. And that was the last week of June when I finally spoke to them.
Did you give any thought to not doing it?
I was kind of back and forth. I was really excited at the opportunity to even be asked to speak. I was a little nervous because I've never done anything so big. But the thought of actually saying no never really crossed my mind. I was nervous but very excited for the chance to do something.
How did your speech come about? Did you write it? Did they write it? Did you work on it together?
We worked on an option to completely write it myself if I would like. I had opted for a professional speechwriter to assist me with it. So he interviewed me. We spoke for a little over an hour. I had told him who I was, what my story was, and what kind of message I wanted to get across. And he put together the first speech. We had more than one draft. And there were some things in the first one it didn't feel right to me. So I sent back an edited version. And my edited version was approved by whoever has to approve speeches that go on national television.
What didn't you like in the first version?
It didn't sound like me. It sounded like it had been written. And I didn't like that. I wanted it to be my story. And I wanted it to come from me.
So you walk up to the stage, the podium that night, the room is filled. Mm-hmm. What was it like?
It was very exciting, very nerve-wracking, and backstage was, I think, the most nervous I've ever been. But once I walked on that stage, I was confident. It felt very natural once I got up there that I'm here to tell my story, and people want to hear it. If they don't, they'll tune away, so I don't have to worry about them. But the ones that want to hear it, they're paying attention, and they're interested in what I have to say.
Now, when Hillary came to Marion, Bernie Sanders was still in the election, and obviously Donald Trump is in the election. Mm-hmm. Had you decided who you were going to vote for at that point?
When Hillary came into town, I had not decided yet. I was still torn. I am a Democrat, but I was torn between her and Bernie. The further things have went, and I pay attention as much as I'm able to everything, and I just thought that she had better solutions, and I was thankful when they decided to work together to come up with some of the policies they want to put into place.
What was the atmosphere at the convention like?
I didn't get to be on the floor very much. I was mostly backstage or in the green room and practicing. The parts that I did it was torn. Outside, there were protesters. They were very peaceful and very friendly. I walked out with my credentials on, and everyone still treated me very nicely. A lot of them did not agree with my choice to endorse Hillary Clinton, but they wanted to share their side of the story as well. So it was a very nice experience. I was a little nervous at first because there were protests, but they were all very, very friendly. And just wanted to share their own stories.
Was there anybody backstage that you met that was fun for you?
I met several people. I met Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's very, very nice woman, very genuine. And so she was very nice to meet. I did get to meet Ted Danson and his wife, Mary Steenburger, very briefly, but backstage. So that was exciting to be able to meet some known celebrities. I met a few different governors that I probably wouldn't be able to say their names now, but
since that initial meeting back in March, did you ever hear from Hillary or see her again?
I have not. I've heard from the campaign, but not from her directly.
After the convention was over, what was their feeling about your performance and speech?
Everyone seemed pretty excited. I got a lot of hugs and a lot of pats on the back for even having the gall to go up there in the first place to be able to share my story. So it was very exciting leading up to and after was just an experience to remember.
Beth Mathias from here in Marion, Ohio. She was at the Democratic National Convention last week, spoke on Thursday. If you'd like to give her a call, 740-383-9944. Sean, you got any questions?
So what was your hardest thing about writing your speech, I guess?
The hardest thing was to kind of keep it about me and to what my family is going through. To try to avoid some of the popular topics, I guess. I wanted to just keep it about, this is my story. This is me and my family, what we go through. So, you know, it's I also have a 10-year history that I'm trying to condense into 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So cutting out things was difficult as well to stay within the time limit we had.
Now, when it comes to the campaign, because since the Democratic convention, it has been kind of interesting in regard to Donald Trump, but Ohio is still divided. Ohio, where we all sit right now, is still straight down the middle. I saw some posts last night that the Republican Club here in Marion was showing the Clinton Cash movie last night, and that there are people out here campaigning for Donald Trump. What's your feeling on Donald?
I think I would like to keep a lot of my personal feelings to myself. I think that just everyone just needs to vote. Whether you are Republican, Democrat, somewhere in between, just pick who you feel has the best chance of doing a good job with our country.
Is there a reason you don't like to say anything in regard to Donald?
I like to keep things positive. I prefer, my feelings are not the greatest towards Mr. Trump, and I would just prefer not to bash anyone.
Do you think there is a line, though? Because in this lifetime, there really has never been a Republican candidate, or a Democratic candidate for that matter, like him, who says the things that he says. Do you think just letting him go on is the way to beat him? Because obviously you have said you've endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely. I think that if he continues the way he is, some people are going to love him for it. But I think others are going to look at it for just at face value and not see if there's any real meaning behind what he says. And sometimes he just comes across as very negative and not a good judge of character.
Were you ever one of those people, even in the beginning, because there were a lot of Democrats when he first announced 15 months ago now, that said, yeah, you know, this is the guy. He's not tied to Washington. He's a positive guy. He's a businessman. He can fix the country. Were you ever entertained by Donald?
I've never been a supporter of his. It was very interesting. I was excited to see what he had to bring to the table, but I've just been disappointed in the majority of the campaign thus far.
On the other side, there is a lot of negative reaction to Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like I say, here in Ohio, it's still split.
Mm-hmm.
The vote is still split. For people who do say things, talk about Benghazi, talk about the emails, talk about she's not personable, what do you say to those people as you support her?
Nobody's perfect, which is absolutely the case for both candidates. But sometimes you have to look at history of getting things done. Who has the best chance of taking where our country is now and making it even greater than it already is? I think that she has the know-how, and she's been through this. She knows what the issues are, and I think she has the temperament to be able to handle anything thrown.
As a woman, does it mean anything that she's a woman?
For my vote, absolutely not. But as a woman, to see the very first woman be even nominated to run for president is a huge step. Even as little girls, we were taught that you can do anything but a man's job. And being president has always been a man's job until now. That ceiling has been broken, and there's a chance. So I have a daughter at home that she'll now be able to see, no matter which way the election goes, that girls can become president, or at the very least run for president.
As I say, this election's a little bit different because in past election, whether it was the Republican or Democrat, whoever was supported, people kind of felt that the day after the election, things were going to be okay. After this week, seems to be a little different, the things that Donald Trump's saying. If he is elected and Hillary Clinton does lose, what's your feeling on where we go from here?
I just truly hope he does the best he can. If he were to be elected, I would hope that he would listen to the American people and do what's truly best for as many people as possible.
Do you think he has a chance?
I think with the way the election is going so far, I think both of them have a good shot at this point. It is split across the country, not just in Ohio. So I think it's going to be a tight race all the way to the end.
You have a question?
Yeah. So if Donald Trump does get elected, God forbid, right? do you think he would listen to your story?
I would hope so. The way things have gone, I don't know if I would trust him to hear what I said. Maybe listen, but not hear.
Yeah. Yes.
For I say, because it's a big issue right now about Hillary Clinton's likability. I mean, her trustworthy numbers before the convention were 34%, and they didn't go up any. She's right. Still at 34%. Mm-hmm. Why do you think people don't trust her? You've sat in a room with her.
I think that with any candidate, once you break trust, it's a hard thing to get back. She did break America's trust with the emails and with Benghazi. There are trust issues. It's something she has to earn back. It's very difficult to gain that back no matter which end of the spectrum you are on.
Would she have been your ideal candidate?
I think everyone's version of an ideal candidate is different. For me, it's someone that does listen. For someone that can see the bigger issues in America, not just the higher level issues, but all the way from the homeless to the top people in Washington. Someone that can hear all of that and try to make a solution. Nothing is going to work for everyone. It doesn't matter who gets in office. Nothing is going to work for every American. The ideal candidate is someone that can find a middle ground and make as many people as possible, give them the opportunity to have a better life.
From this point on, what do you plan to do here in Ohio, here in Marion, with limited constraints to get Hillary Clinton elected?
I'm going to continue sharing my story and letting them know why, you know, I think that she does have the know-how and that she does have the ability to create a better country. We are a great country already, but I think that she can take us even further.
When you say that, when you say she's the one who can do it, do you believe that she will go in there and change it? Because sometimes presidents come in and they don't do exactly what they say they were going to do. And maybe that's the trustworthy issue with her right now.
I don't know if she's going to be able to do everything that is promised, but I think that she would certainly try. She has a history of fighting for what she believes to be right, and she gets things done. Even now, she still gets things done. Like I said, no presidential candidate is going to be able to deliver on 100% of what they say they're going to. But I think just trying to pass things and not giving up and fighting for what is right is what's important.
Were you a fan of President Obama?
I was.
It's kind of, and I understand wanting to keep it positive, but just in the last 24 hours, Donald Trump has called her the devil. Mm-hmm. Now, that really doesn't happen too often in presidential races, but... And then when they asked him if he would take it back and thought he went too far, he said no. So this woman who you support, when she gets called the devil, what do you make of something like that? Because at the convention, which we went to, the Republican National Convention, Tuesday night, they're chanting, lock her up.
I've heard these things. I think that Mr. Trump doesn't have a filter. He says what is on his mind, and he doesn't apologize for that. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of people adore him for that very reason. I don't agree with his standings, but this is the land of the free, and we do have free speech. So he's welcome to speak his mind.
Do you ever run into people now who know you've done what you've done who say, how could you do that?
I have not, actually. Everyone I've spoken to, even those that are strongly against me, have congratulated me and thanked me for sharing my story. I've had a couple say, well, hopefully you'll come back to the light. but for the most part, it's been pretty positive. You know, I have several friends that are Republican and are very big Trump supporters that are still proud that even though I don't agree with them, that I was able to go up there and just say what I believed.
Would you have supported him or supported her if this had not happened to you, if you had not been called back in March?
I think at this point, even if I had never met her, I think she would still have my support. Because I was leaning Democrat. I'm a Democrat, and I was torn between her and Mr. Sanders for quite some time. But I think that she has tried to keep things positive as well, which I try to do daily. And I think that Bernie has a lot of love, including from myself. But I think that she, out of the two of them, that she would have the better chance of doing something great with the country.
What's the one issue that makes you a Democrat?
Social services, for the most part. Both agencies I work for are social services, and it's very dear to my heart. I've chosen, my entire career path is based on helping others. And from what I have seen, the Democratic Party, they very much support social service issues.
You have a question?
Oh, your speech that you wrote, do you have it, like, published somewhere, like on Facebook or something people could read and help you out and share the page? And
I don't have it published, but I did see that it has been published online. If you just type in, if you search my name, Beth Mathias, and then you can type in Democratic National Convention speeches, it does pop up pretty easily on Google.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, it's on YouTube?
Like, all these speeches from the conventions are on YouTube.
As I say, because that way people can help you share the story.
Yes, they are on YouTube. Each one of our speeches has been published on YouTube, and C-SPAN also has each one of our speeches on their website.
In the final moment here, if you're making the pitch for Hillary Clinton today, less than 100 days before the election, what do you say to people?
I say to vote where your heart is. You've seen everything that they've said. You can't always take everything that the media says to heart. To do your research, look at statistics and at history. See who has the best chance of doing something great with this country.
And if their heart follows them to Donald Trump?
Well, then I will pray for them.
Beth Mathias, is that right?
Yes, Mathias.
Beth Mathias, we thank you for coming in. Marion, person who made it to the Democratic National Convention, what a thrill that must have been. Thank you for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
For both of them. But, you know, I mean, when Ted Cruz announced, everybody, the Democrats were like, oh, bring it on, baby. It's been nice talking to you.
Thank you, Joy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
This is a man who's had a long relationship with boxing. He is HBO boxing analyst Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?